World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, happy November 25th, 2021. Going to do a little bit of a soft opening here today because we're going to do communion. We're going to take communion together. So we'll give all of you a chance of tuning in right now. Actually, as I said when we got up and rolling here on Thanksgiving morning, find out who the real cult followers are. If you got up this morning, you're hooked. 66 of you in the queue right now that are hooked. Probably a lot of them are going to watch it afterwards. That's okay. I'm glad we're doing it. Can I tell you why I'm glad we're doing it? Because I wake up early now. I can't even hardly sleep in anymore. I took Michelle out last night. Hey, go get your communion wafer and your drink. I'm stalling here. Michelle and I went out last night and had like a real date kind of thing. We haven't done that in like forever. Took her out to dinner and I went to the mall. Hey, Jared, you got to get that ready. You got to see the video I did at the mall. I don't know if you guys had a chance to see that or not. Oh, my goodness. And then I said to Michelle this morning, I don't know if you guys know this, tomorrow is my birthday. So I'm 69 tomorrow. 69. I said to Michelle, next year at this time, you're going to be married to a 70-year-old. How does this happen to us, friends? How does this happen that all of a sudden I'm 70 years old? And 42 years ago, Michelle was so dashing and beautiful. Just, oh, man, what a plum I picked out of that tree. And now she's in her mid-60s and I'm 70. Are you kidding me? But now I understand what my dad, I asked my dad about that one time. You're ageless inside, aren't you, folks? You really, really are ageless inside. I feel exactly the same. I mean, I view things differently. I react to things differently. But yeah, that's one's year. But I'm the same guy looking out of the same eyes. You know, say the eyes are the windows of the soul. I'm the same guy. I'm the same guy at 69 that I was at 16. I don't, that guy on the screen right now, I don't see him. I see that dashing 27-year-old American. Where'd this guy come from? You guys know what I'm talking about here, right? On Thanksgiving morning. So I struggle. Hey, listen, if some of you just tuned in, we're going to do communion here. We're going to do it here in just a few minutes. So go get your good one, Joe. Yeah, I get you. Go get a wafer and something to drink. We're going to take communion together here on Thanksgiving. What better thing to do than to give thanks through Thanksgiving? I want to just, Jared, real quick, go to the schedule on the homepage here real quick. We got a couple things up there that weren't up there before. I'm stalling, so y'all get your communion wafer. They're doing Camp Constitution going on in Houlton, Maine. We're having our event in Missouri, MACO, which is Missouri, Arkansas, Kansas, Oklahoma, Salt and Light Brigade Huddle on December 4th. I'm sorry, and 5th. No, yes, it's December 4th, and then Sunday morning on December 5th. My wife's Women's Warrior Weekend. Come on, girls, get there. It's $15. That's just for the food. But we need you to sign up and get on there so Michelle can figure out, make some plans, get ready, going on that. We'd love to have all you guys come. And it's going to be just a Friday night, half a day, three quarters of a day, over about, let's say about 4 o'clock on Saturday. So those of you can get home, need to get home. Excuse me, hiccups. Then Pennsylvania Salt and Light Brigade Communication Training Day, December 11th. Got a lot of stuff going on. So get in there. Sign up for Michelle's huddle. So she plans ahead farther than me, right? She wants to know tomorrow how many are coming. I said, honey, give us a little bit of chance. So go online, register for that thing if you can. All right, cool. What else, Coach? Oh, I got some good stuff. I got some good stuff and some bad stuff. And want to kind of get into the give thanks mood here. I asked yesterday, Jared, maybe you can help us out there. I asked you yesterday if you could to send a card to Jane Goodwin, who lost her husband, Steve. Jared, and the stuff I sent you today, Jane's address is there. Maybe you can copy and put that in the chat for us. Jane's in here every day listening to the show, silently listening to the show. And her 77-year-old husband, Steve, passed away. Terrible time here at Thanksgiving. So if you guys could, just get a card, send it to Jane. Let her know she has a family out here that's with her. It's Jane Goodwin, Goodwin, 158 Plummer Road. Plumber, like a plumber. 158 Plummer Road. Brewster, like you're brewing beer. Brewster. Oops, I'm sorry. Told you wrong thing. Richmond, Maine. 04357. We'll put it in the chat. Please do that. Please send her a card. Terrible time to lose a loved one. So, Jared, if you could, I know you can. Let me see. I'll make sure I look at my schedule here. Okay. Hey, Jared, pull up for me. Very first song. Folks, we're going to do communion right here at the top of the show. Again, for those of you who have just tuned in, we're going to break bread together. It's Thanksgiving Day. I'm going to do a little bit of a history test here. I said to my wife, I can't do one of those corny, what are you thankful about today? That's kind of corny, you know? So I didn't want to do that. But if we get a chance and you can tell what you're grateful for, that's okay. But to me, Thanksgiving Day is really, it's not about us. I mean, it's about giving thanks to the Lord, right? It is. The sovereign providence of God. But in my heart, in my mind, it's about those who, as Abraham Lincoln said, those who here gave their lives that their nation might live. In fact, Jared, if you would, pull that up there for me, Abraham Lincoln. Let's start out with this. This is kind of odd, isn't it? The Gettysburg Address. But I was thinking about this morning as I was coming down the steps, and I get a lot of thoughts when I come down the steps. And I thought how poignant. I've memorized the Declaration of Independence. Oh, I'm sorry, the Gettysburg Address. I've memorized it. Just go to the first copy, Jared. Doesn't matter, right there. The Bliss copy, that's okay. And I was thinking as I was coming down the steps, I was kind of repeating it to myself today, how poignant it is for where we are. So, Silver, how about go ahead and reading that for us today? Now, folks, listen. These are four different copies of this, so I think this is the one that we all know. But just think about that, the profundity. They'd just come through a great civil war. This was done on November 19th, 1863. Led to Thanksgiving. Abraham Lincoln, I don't know if you know the story behind this, he wrote it down on the train on the way there. Just scribbled. Said, well, God, what am I going to talk about here? What am I going to talk about? Took him 5 or 10 minutes probably to write it down on a piece of paper, and became one of the most famous speeches, whatever, in the history of America. Think what they'd just been through, and let the profundity of this let's speak to your heart. Go ahead, Joe. Read that for us, if you will.
Okay. 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now, we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield.
Let me stop you there a second, Joe. That's profound, isn't it? Testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. How was it conceived and dedicated? The proposition that all men are created equal, endowed by their creator. Conceived in liberty, all men are created equal. Can a nation like that long endure? Go ahead, Joe.
We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live.
Wow.
It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground.
Hmm.
The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract.
Boy, is that ever the truth, huh? Brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. My, my, my.
The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Have we forgotten that? Hey, Bobby Lee, I don't even know if Bobby's here. Have we forgotten that, Bobby? Bobby's been trying for 3 years to get us back to Gettysburg. And I know when I walk over that, boy, I have a story. I won't tell it now, but go ahead, Joe.
It is for us, the living.
Who, Joe?
The living.
Who's the Joe? It's for us, who?
The living.
The living. It's for us, the living. Go ahead.
It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work, which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced.
Mm.
It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us.
Yes, sir.
That from these honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. That this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom. And that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us. It's still remaining before us, friends. What's that great task? Conceived in liberty, dedicated to the proposition that all men created equal. Can a nation like that long endure? That from these honored dead on Thanksgiving, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave their last full measure of devotion. We want to be raptured out of here. I want to die on the battlefield, baby. I don't know about you guys. I want to die on the battlefield. And that we hear how to resolve that these dead, those ones laying down in those graves who had real lives and real families and real dreams and real aspirations, that those guys who laid down there didn't do it in vain, for no cause, for no purpose, for no reason. That this nation under God in 1863 could have a new birth of freedom. Can we do it today in 2021? Can we have a new birth of freedom? And the government of the people, by the people, and for the people, shall not perish from the earth. It's pretty profound. We're there again, folks. However many years. Think about this. Go back at the top. Stay right there. I'm sorry. Spent a Jared. 87 years after the signing of the Constitution Declaration. I don't know exactly when it would be, I guess. Was it from the date of the, you can go back to when the Pilgrims landed, right? Where it all began. But he's talking about the founding of the nation. It's 87 years. Heck, I'll be 70, right? From the birth of a nation, 87 years ain't nothing, is it? It isn't. And you know, the sad thing is, really when we gather today, this national holiday of Thanksgiving, what's being taught in our schools about what Thanksgiving is about? Are they being taught about these guys who laid down their lives? Talk about the sacrifices that were made? Thanksgiving gives a new perspective to it. So I want to go into communion right now. I got a song that, Jared, I want you to play that song first. And then we'll take the elements. Go ahead, Jared. Just be in a spirit of Thanksgiving, folks, if you can.
With the grace, give thanks with the grace. cross he's given, Jesus Christ, his son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his son.
I don't know about you, I'm strong and I'm rich this morning. Anybody else out there strong and rich this morning?
Amen.
I'm strong and I'm rich today.
Amen.
And on this day of Thanksgiving, I think I told you the story yesterday. My mom was one of seven children, second to youngest of seven children. I grew up in Appalachia, as many did, and they were so poor. My grandfather left, got a divorce. My grandmother, they never got a divorce, but they separated. They lived separated for like, I don't know, like 40 years after, probably separated maybe at 45 or 50, I don't know, with seven kids. No alimony, things were different back then. And my grandma raised all seven of those kids. And on during the summers, all the kids would go work on a farm. And my mom thought it was a vacation. Oh, we get to go live with the Neals this summer. All seven of them would be go work on the farms. Not realizing that grandma, Mom Fisher, as we called her, had to farm them out to survive. She rented the kids out. Is that something? Every one of the kids went and lived with somebody else during the summer and worked the farm, and the money went to grandma to raise the kids. I'm thankful for Mom Fisher today for the sacrifices she made. So get your element out. We'll give you a minute if you haven't gotten one yet. That's something. Get a little piece of bread. You guys know how I feel about communion. I believe a lot of times it's just a tradition of men. I think we're supposed to give thanks every time that we eat. But on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, take this and eat it. This is my body given for you. As often as you do this, Do it in remembrance of me. Then in a like manner, took a cup of wine. He passed a cup of wine around and says, this is a cup of my blood. The blood of the new and everlasting covenant. Everlasting. It's blood shed for the remission of your sins. So if you do this in remembrance of me. Amen. Who wants to pray?
I'll pray, Coach.
Do it, Ben.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you give us. Thank you for each moment you give us on this earth, the opportunities you give us to make a difference and fight for you and promote your kingdom. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us, bringing God's word to us, suffering on the cross for us, allowing your blood to be spilled for us and your body to be sacrificed. Please let us be examples as we go forward. And today, as we spend time with family members, let your light shine through us. Help all the good people in the world, all the babies, the children, the born and unborn. Help us to win this fight. Show us the way, Lord. In your holy name we pray. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Well done there, Clay.
Amen.
Wow. Cool.
Amen. May I add to the prayer a little bit?
You sure can. Anybody, come on in right now.
Heavenly Father, we not only thank you for the opportunity to serve you, and to further your kingdom here on earth. Father, we thank you that you have given us each other to help us and for us to help them. And we ask that you bring to our minds constantly and continuously the necessity for us to be a family of God, working together, helping each other in Jesus' name.
Anybody else, just come on in.
Lord, we thank you for the challenges that you've given us that have made us wiser and stronger, and also knowing that you're always there to carry us when we cannot manage it alone, and for strengthening our faith, and for knowing who our true friends are, and for there are families are healthy and here with us, or separated are healthy, and that there is love in our hearts, and we thank you for every day reminding us of what we should be grateful for. And thank you for our salvation and for what you've given for us. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Merciful beyond compare, God. I just thank you for your wonderful mercies and your great sacrifice with your son, Lord. And, just ask that you remind us of these sacrifices daily, Lord, so we can better serve you. And I thank you for this group who's become family, God. And I ask blessings on each and every one of them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord Jesus, I jump in here quickly and I just pray for each family that is represented this morning on the huddle. Each of them have their unique situations, things going on within the family. And I lift them all up, that you would give them wisdom, courage. And may today be a day that they may lovingly share why foundationally they are secure in their eternity and in their daily walk. And if not, may you be with each family today so that they can have joy and a good gathering if they're joined together in the name of Christ. We thank you for who you are, King Jesus. Amen.
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 Hey, Jared, pull up Romans chapter 5 real quick, if you could. I didn't have that in it, but I know you can get it up there for me. There we go. You there, Joe? Give that a read for us, brother.
Yes, sir. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Boy, that ought to be worth a barrel full right there, huh? Just peace with God. Wow. Go ahead.
By whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience.
Wow. When's the last time you gloried in your trouble, folks? Huh? We glory in tribulations. Lord, thank you for all my problems. Thank you. Why, Joe?
And patience, experience. And experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed.
Amen.
Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
Mm-hmm.
For when we were yet without strength, In due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die.
Wow.
But God commandeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Thank you, Lord.
Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, so much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement.
All right, Joe, let's stop right there. Go back to verse 9 real quick. Here's what it means to be saved. People say, I'm saved. Saved from what? Saved from what? Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. Oh, boy. There it is.
Praise God. Saved from wrath.
Why? Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry.
It's kind of like walking with a big shield bubble around you.
Yep. Huh? Definitely. Hey, Joe, it seems to me wrath's coming, doesn't it, brother?
It's definitely coming. And
yeah, we're saved from it, though.
Either.
See, we're not saved from hardship. We're not saved from tribulations. In fact, he said, thank God for it. Thank him for the tribulations, because they developed the character that's within us. But we have been saved. So I'm saved. Praise God, I'm saved. I said, saved from what? From the wrath to come. I'm saved from that wrath to come. Praise the Lord. Cool. Hey, man, that's pretty religious service here this morning. Let's dive into some. Thanks, Joe. Thanks all of you. Let's dive into some good stuff here. You know me, I was up really early this morning. I fought it and was able to somehow stay asleep. I got this brand new computer and it doesn't always click up for me when it's supposed to. Hey, Jared, go to the Instagram. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. This is from Candace Owens. You guys know who Candace Owens is?
Yes.
And my. Now, this was done on November, I don't know, 9th or something, I think it was. Jared, go to about the 6-minute mark, Jared. This whole thing is really good, but I don't want to take a minute. I don't want to take 11 minutes. But I want you to listen to the last 6 minutes of the wisdom that comes out of this young girl's heart. This is profound. Go ahead, Jared.
You said, okay, you bought the narrative. The state told you inflation is good. Literally an article that I just read, okay, on MSNBC. I promise you, go look for it. It went up today. Opinion, why inflation is a good thing. Give it a couple of more months and they're going to be telling you. Opinion, why starvation is a good thing. Because it serves the state, right? It serves the climate crisis. Existential goes on forever, right? Of course, you should have to sacrifice being able to provide for your family as long as we're not, as long as we're investing in clean energy, trillions of dollars into clean energy. And then, by golly, even if you're starving, even if you can't get to work, doesn't it just feel good to honor the state? Do you understand what is happening in this country right now? That is my question for you. When you really sit down and you say, I hate Candace Owens, I hate Trump, and white supremacy, and white supremacy, do you understand that the state has brainwashed you? They have brainwashed you to see every piece of their obvious corruption as necessary to fight an evil. Oh, we don't, government, we got to grow ourselves even more. Because of the COVID crisis. So we're going to need eight more boroughs of government. We're going to need eight more departments of government because now we've got to fight COVID. And OSHA, who you guys didn't elect, and the CDC, who didn't elect, are going to issue mandates as if we live in a dictatorship. And we're going to tell you how to run your businesses, and we're going to take control of your businesses, and we're going to send federal agents to come up to your door, and you're going to cheer it on because it's for your safety. You're going to cheer it on, right? Oh, by the way, we're going to brainwash your children when they get to school. We're going to remove any opportunity of any economic mobility. They're not going to be able to become successful because they're not going to learn math. Math is racist. They're not going to learn engineering. All that stuff's racist. Getting A's and knowing anything that can make you smart and maybe give you an opportunity to inject yourself into society and grow, to go to the top. Economic mobility, we're going to teach you that that's actually racist. Capitalism's racist. No. We're all going to be equally poor. Because that would be fair. You're gonna love it. You're gonna be all poor, but at least we will have achieved equality because only the state will have money and we'll give you things. We will once in a blue moon give you a pack of bacon to eat if you're lucky, but it's probably not gonna be a pack of bacon when they're done. Do you understand that your country right now, okay, Western civilization right now is facing a cloud of communism, okay? And that cloud looks like it's going to pour. It looks like it is going to absolutely pour. Do you see it? Do you see it when you look at Biden? Is it apparent to you that he is not running this country? How much longer are you going to delude yourself to prove a point? I get it. You're probably a little embarrassed that you spent 4 years ranting about white supremacy. Okay? But I know you see what's happening right now in this country. I can't believe any person is this dumb. I can't believe any person is this blind. I can't believe that any person has dug their heels so far in their ignorance that they need to hate Trump so much to prove a point to their friends so they don't embarrass themselves, that they're willing to impoverish their entire families and the rest of their lives. Do you understand what it takes to get rid of communism? Do you understand that once you give up your freedoms and you become a communist country, they are only earned back when blood is shed? Do you understand what's happening in Cuba? Do you understand that they just shut down the power grid and they can't communicate anymore? That there can be nothing? Do you get what happened and how quickly it happened in Venezuela? Do you see what Joe Biden is doing? This is not about Democrat or Republican anymore. I'm not even asking you to care about your fellow American. I'm asking you to care about yourself, to care about your children, to care about your wife, to care about your household. Do you understand that we have a very small window of opportunity to change it around? The communists are now controlling the government, and they are deadly serious. They're deadly serious. They are not ging around. They're not, okay? They don't care. They're locking up political dissidents. Do you understand what's happening to Project Veritas? Do you now, when you go back and examine the facts of January 6th, do you find it odd that people that had no weapons, people that walked into the Capitol after a police barricade was opened for them, quite literally opened for them? Are you reading their actual stories? Are you following this in the court? That you realize that these people are being locked up in prison and not let out? Do you understand why that is? Do you understand why the media, who is controlled by the state? Do you understand that that is American Pravda? The state controls the media? You think that the media just writes inflation is a good thing? Do you understand that they work for the state and not for you? That you're not being educated, you're being miseducated? Do you understand that January 6th was a warning shot? Do not ever stand against the state. We will lock you up. We will find your crime. You will rot in prison. You had people burning down this country for weeks after George Floyd riots, and they were released from prison immediately. Immediately. that celebrities raise money. Do you understand that Hollywood is a part of the state? Or are you still hanging their posters on your wall? What is it going to take for you to wake up? If actual political, if dissidents that are defectors from North Korea are coming over and telling you, okay, people that have lived through human sex trafficking, okay, like this young woman did, people that have survived it, have escaped their country, have lived through China, have lived through North Korea, are coming here and telling you that this is what's coming, is that not enough for you to wake up? We don't have much time left. That's it. That's all I want to say to you guys. I want
okay,
to
know what's it. That's pretty profound. A couple requests, Jared, people. I don't know if we can get that in the chat or not. That the whole thing's profound. The whole thing is profound, folks. And I want to play off of this a second, then open it up. Golly, we only got 24 minutes. I want to show you something else that I made last night. I don't know the last time I've been at a mall. Jared, it's my Facebook page here. Yeah, right there. I don't know the last time that I've been at a mall. Michelle and I went out to eat. I told you that. Celebrate our anniversary. Walked into the mall. There wasn't anybody in the mall, but I bump into one of my high school friends I hadn't seen. I don't even know how long, and he looked like an old man. I mean, Mike, I'm not making. If you're watching, Mike, man, you looked old. He says I'm 70. So, oh, geez, I'll be there soon. And we had a brief conversation, and we went in there because Michelle wanted to pick up something she had ordered, and she wanted to save the shipping. So we went into the store. And I walked into the store. By the way, as I'm walking into the store, there aren't very many people. There are some girls that were walking around. They all had ripped pants. Their pants are ripped, you know? And I remember back when I was a kid, we were so poor that my mom used to get those iron-on patches on their pants. Anybody remember those? I got a pair of pants. I wore them every day because that's all we could afford. We had five kids. Mom couldn't buy pants, so she ironed on those patches. Somebody thumbs up, say, oh, yeah, I remember those. Yeah. Yeah, I remember those patches. And I remember how embarrassed I was because I was wearing my brothers that were handed down to me. My dad was a factory worker, and my mom was staying home. So anyway, I walked last night into this store. We're in the mall. I haven't been in this mall in 5 years, maybe 10 years. I walked into this mall. I don't know how they stay open. There's nobody there. And I made this brief video. Go ahead and play it here. This shows you how we've been brainwashed, folks.
Well, it's my anniversary. Michelle, come here a minute. It's our anniversary here. And we went out to eat. Now we're in the mall. 42 years we've been married.
I had to pick up a pair of pants to save on shipping.
So we came by here to pick up a pair of pants to save on shipping. And I walked in. I won't say the name of this place because I'm not making fun of them. But I don't know how many are out there. I remember I grew up with five. I had four brothers and a sister. No, I had three brothers and a sister, five of us. And times were tough, man. And I can remember my mom would give me a pair of pants and I'd wear them out because, you just wore them all the time. And she would get those iron-on patches. Anybody out there remember those iron-on patches besides me? Well, I had all kinds of blue jeans with iron-on patches. So I just got to show you something. So we walk into this place in the mall, which I never come into the mall. We came in here. Let me flip this around. Aunt Mary, Mary Knuckle, my cousin Mary. You remember that, right?
Hi, April. Hi, Mary.
Jeff Brooke, look, this is unbelievable. So I'm going to flip this around. I go over here and look. I'm in this wonderful place, and I go over here and I look. Oh, my goodness, they're selling pants with holes in them. There's holes in those pants. So why would you – how much are those pants with holes in them?
He doesn't know the
style. Only $59.90. What is wrong? We've lost our mind, haven't we? $59.90 for a pair of pants with holes in them. Look over here. Look. What? Are you kidding me? Holes in the pants? What's this price tag? I don't get out much, as you can tell. I better be careful because I'll give away the name of the store that I'm at. What's the price tag, Michelle? Well, I can go over here. The whole pile of them. They're only $40. They got holes in them. Where's my mom? Mom, give me an iron-on patch, Mom. Help me out, Mom. I need an iron-on patch. on these pants. How about these? These are beautiful iron-ons. Big hole. Big hole. $59.90. We have lost our friggin' minds. We've lost our minds.
Somebody give me a thumbs up on that, huh? Is that unbelievable? Those of us who wore pants with holes in them, I can't even understand. I can't even, first of all, I can't believe pants are $59 with holes in them. Somebody help me out here. Huh?
Hey, coach, how much are the matches?
First time I heard that I was in the wrong business. Go to the thrift store. Get a bunch of pants and put some holes in them.
Just go to Goodwill. You can get them for $1.50 at Goodwill. Put your own holes in them. Come on in, Benny.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a great analogy for the history books that we buy that have holes in them.
Oh, the history we buy has holes in them. Amen.
Roger, this is Polly. At the Goodwill, you can't give clothes that have holes in them, they won't take them at the Goodwill.
we've lost our minds. We've lost our minds. Come on in, Reggie. Reggie, then Roger.
I just wanted to tell you, you know, when this SAD came out, I've got 7 girls and they started to like putting holes in their pants. And I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I said the same thing. I go, well, we used to fix pants or we throw them away. You didn't get caught dead like that.
I'm so embarrassed. I'm so embarrassed wearing my patched pants to school, except everybody else was doing it too. So it didn't matter so much, right?
Or rough skins. They might get rough skins or tough skins.
Oh, my goodness. Come on in, Raj.
Well, I don't know if this ties in, but, you know, Dave, I was raised in a community where the governor mansion is, so you can kind of understand the wealth. But Sunday nights, my mom and I, we'd go up to the Bexley thrift shop. And I would say half of my clothes were bought from the Bexley thrift shop. And I'll never forget. And we weren't poor, but my parents just were raised on farms. And I'll never forget my first pair of Converse. Everybody was wearing up Converse. My first pair of Converse were used. Somebody else's. And I was
dead men's clothes.
I loved it. And to add to that, and I, like I said, I can remember buying a shirt at the Bexley thrift shop for, you know, $1.50 or something. And I remember walking down the hallway of school one day and a guy came up to me and said, you know, I used to have a shirt just like that.
Damn, I bet he did.
I was probably wearing a shirt. Today, Roger, blessed, so I'm grateful. And thank you for letting me share that little story.
You're so grateful that now your daughter can go buy $60 pants with holes in them. That's progress, I guess, folks. Yeah, hey, I don't want to ruin it out there, folks. But remember this: every time you go to Goodwill and you pull something off of the rack, ask yourself if you aren't buying dead men's clothes. Better consider that. Come on in. Clay.
Yeah, they want to look like they went outside, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, we used to go outside and wear them things out. And a lot of them don't go outside, so they want to look like a deplorable. Because
good point. Things out. Yeah.
I've got a jean jacket that I have had for probably 25 or 30 years, probably older than some of my kids, and it's got holes in it. And I had a younger guy on the job site want to buy it from it because it's got holes in it. He wanted an authentic jacket.
Amen, amen, amen. Come on in, Rochelle. Rochelle, then Jim, and Jean.
Hey, good morning, team. Happy Thanksgiving.
You don't wear any of those pants, do you, Rochelle? You don't wear those pants with holes in them, I hope.
It was that movie Flashdance. After that, I cut up every single article of clothing I owned. It drove my mama crazy. And now Goodwill has figured it out, and they do accept those $60 jeans, and they put them on a separate rack, and they charge, you know, 3 times as much as they do for their regular jeans, even at Goodwill.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And now, talking about your jacket coming back into style, there's bell bottoms, people. My daughters are ordering bell bottoms for.
Oh, there we go. You tell me culture doesn't control us, folks, huh? Wow. Jim, come on in. Then Gene.
Coach, I had a opposite issue yesterday going into one of the retailers, and that was my wife's mom is getting ready to pass. So I said, I need a couple of dress shirts and a new belt. So I go in yesterday with that mission in mind. First of all, the belt, they didn't have the right size belt. So I opted for the longer one. And there were no dress shirts in the bins. This is a day before one of the busiest days of the year. No dress shirts in any of the bins.
People picked them over.
I don't know what the problem was.
Maybe people don't buy them anymore, huh? Maybe they don't buy them anymore.
I've never seen that, Coach.
Gino, come on in.
Yes, I just want to go to another scenario. When I was young, we was poor, but I didn't know it. I didn't know we were poor. Because we lived on a farm, we raised our cattle, we raised our eggs, we raised everything. We went to town on Saturday night to sell our eggs and our cream so we could buy groceries to go home in. There was a place that was in town that sold 7 hamburgers for a dollar. And they smelled so good when I was in town. I said, why can't we go eat? My folks would say, no, we would have to go home and eat.
And that's something.
What I don't realize was I was raised as a king because we had our meat, our eggs. My mom baked bread. We had a $15 meal every day.
Mm.
That if you went to a restaurant today, it would cost you $15 at least. But we ate good. And God blessed us with that. And we were poor.
Well, Gene, that's the kind of thing we got to be thankful for, huh? That's what Thanksgiving's all about, man. Romans chapter 5. Thank God for those hard times. And unfortunately, boy, our kids don't know anything about it. Come on in, Jeff and Larry.
Coach, 2 weeks ago, I just bagged up all my old jeans with holes in them at 8 pair. And I give them away to a couple young guys. Man, you thought you'd give them $1 million. They love them jeans. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Unbelievable. That's where we are. Culture. Larry, Naomi.
Hey, you talk about wearing dead men's clothes. My daughter was a nanny for a very, very, very well-to-do family here in Myrtle Beach. And when the patriarch, Edward, died, I was the only one the family knew that was his size. Boy, I got thousands of dollars worth of his dead man's clothes, and I wore them for years and years and years and didn't have to spend any of my money on clothes for a long time.
Now, that's an inheritance, Larry. That's an inheritance, brother. Naomi, come on in. I want to shift gears real quickly. Go ahead, Naomi.
Okay, so I don't pay $50 for them, but I do wear the jeans with the holes in them. I'm outside the box as usual. But my thing is that we don't have a Goodwill near us, and the thrift stores here, I can't find pants that fit me. So these that I'm wearing out until they just fall off, they are so comfortable. So I'm wearing them with holes in them.
All right. Hey, Larry, send Naomi some of your pants there. Wait, brother, you got a bunch of them left over. Send those down to her. Hey, Jared, real quick, pull up. It says Betty Perkins. Pull that up, that email I sent to you today. Betty sent me this morning, or whenever she sent. I saw it this morning. I'm going to share it with you because, folks, the manipulation that goes on is like, it's like amazing. Do you have that, Jared, or did I not send it to you? It talks about how many coal power plants you got. Okay. Again, folks, it's the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Roger, you got your hand up. You want to say something? Or you just didn't take it down?
Oh, no, I don't know. I'm just in a good spirit listening to all my friends.
All right. So folks, listen again, how the salt of the earth, no. The world is the salt of the church. We've been so manipulated, we don't even understand this. And so now the big push is global warming, right? And O2 levels, the CO2 levels and all that. And We said, global warming, we got to stop it. And I've often wondered, why does global warming only apply to us here in the good old U.S. of A? Are you able to get that, Jared? All right, man. And Betty sent this to me, and I thought, man, oh, man, this blows me away. So here, look what Betty sent us today. How many coal-fired power plants are there in the world today? Coal power. Think about out where Betty lives, down there to St. Clairsville, Wheeling, West Virginia, across Pennsylvania, way down into West Virginia. Well, the EU has 468 coal power plants, and they're building 27 more. So that's 495, the EU. Turkey has 149 coal-powered fired plants. South Africa has 79, building 24 more for 103 coal power plants. The Philippines has 19. They're building 60 more, so they'll soon have 79 coal-burning power plants. South Korea has 58. They're building 26 more. That's 84. Japan has 90. They're building 45 more. That's 135. China has 2,363. They're building 1,171 more for 3,534. That's 5,615 projected coal-powered plants in just 8 countries. USA has 15. We're building none. We have 15 coal-powered. Is this unbelievable? And Democrat politicians, it's not Democrats, it's Luciferians, right? It's communists. They want the Green New Deal. They want to brainwash us to save the planet when everybody else is polluting it, right? Folks, what a racket. What a racket. Yeah. One more thing I want to show before we get going here. Where am I? Help me out here. Where is it? Let's end it on this today. Pull up Jared, George Washington's proclamation. This ought to be read everywhere across America today. I know y'all got your hands up. Scroll on down there. Silver, you got your voice ready to go here, brother? This is George Washington's proclamation. October 3rd, 1789. George Washington's Thanksgiving proclamation. Silver, you there to read that, brother?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, man. Start by the President of the United States of America proclamation.
Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness.
Hang on, let me stop right there, Joe. I think it's important we go back up a second. A day of thanksgiving and prayer. Do you folks see that? The people of the United States, a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed. Right there on that line, right there, Jared. Right on. Thanksgiving and prayer to be observed. Keep going, Joe.
Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, next to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies, and for the favorable interpositions of his providence which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted for the civil and religious liberty which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in the general for all the great and various favors which he hath been pleased to confer upon us. And also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness unto us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best. Given under my hand at the city of New York on the 3rd day of October in the year of our Lord, 1789, George Washington.
Now, folks, today in our schools, if they teach Thanksgiving at all, what do they teach? It was a day of Thanksgiving that we thanked the Indians and we thanked the farmers and we thanked everybody but Almighty God. You got to remember this. You change the history, you change a people. That's exactly what we see going on in our midst. You change a religion, you change a faith, and you change a people. Remember, they told us in the book of Jude that evil men have crept in unawares, and they change the truth of God into lasciviousness. Do as thy wilt, said Aleister Crowley, who they say was George Bush's wife's daddy. Did you guys know that one? Barbara Bush's daddy, Aleister Crowley. What a tangled web we weave when we first practice to deceive. So, folks, I don't even know why we put it at the beginning of, why do we say Happy Thanksgiving? Where did that term come from? Should be humble Thanksgiving, shouldn't it? Shouldn't it be a humble Thanksgiving, not a happy one? As we look out across the fruited plain of all that was bestowed upon us. All, as Abraham Lincoln said, all those men who here gave their lives that this nation might live. It's altogether fitting and proper. This nation was built on the sacrifice of Christian men. Let us never, ever forget that. And as we see and understand that the only way that the Luciferians are going to be capable of overthrowing the King of Kings, which, by the way, he's been trying to do that from the very beginning, hasn't he? Is supplant anything in place of the name of Jesus, the name that is above all names. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Have a humble Thanksgiving. God bless you. See you tomorrow.